Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Good evening. I mean, it depends on where you're located. You could be out on the West Coast, and it's just a few minutes after 3 o'clock. And here it is, 6:01 p.m. here on Monday, March 22nd. And this is, believe it or not, the 9th episode of the Watkins Award. You got here Tyrone Tate, better known as T. Tate, and my right-hand man, as always, Mr. J. Everett Pearsall. I mean, he's not going to have that background that he normally would possibly give you down on Miami Beach somewhere. As a matter of fact, if any of us been paying attention to the news, if he was down in Miami Beach next week, he need to be in this basement by himself, locked in. How you doing today, Mr. Pearsall?
Absolutely wonderful. And somehow I brought some of that weather back here with me. 60 degrees in Maryland. But I am back home, off the beach. But back in the studio, my basement, is how I roll.
Well, I hope you say you just brought back the weather. You probably brought back some other things. That's why you locked into the basement. You can't get out. You claim the door jammed up, but I think it's something else. Your kids probably lock you down there. They don't want nothing to do with you for at least 10 days.
Well, I have to tell you, after my second vaccination, all is well, all is safe. My kids were happy to see me come back, and unfortunately, I don't have to lock the door.
Well, I tell you, well, you know, I just want to start off today. I really am truly, I'm excited, but I'm also a little saddened by the fact, and I just want to just say that I'm going to miss a real good friend, Ricardo Doran. He passed away last week. Young lad that I called him nephew. He called me unc. Great young man. He was coaching basketball at my alma mater, his alma mater. And that's the greatest compliment of any athlete, that they go back to their alma mater to teach or coach or do something. And Ricardo was coaching basketball there and sadly passed away last week. So I just want to give my condolences. And he was a big supporter of us whenever we came to D.C. He always wanted to make sure that I had everything that I needed there in D.C. And just a great young man. But to say the least, I just wanted to do that, Everett. And then, you know, before I get into the dialogue with you today, I want to put my screen up just a little bit as well. I mean, I don't have as many jerseys and footballs and all those kind of things, but I got Daniel Wilcox behind me. Ed Reed is behind me. You know, I got a few little items, some boxing gloves that were autographed by 9 world champions back there. I think 5 of them come out of the D.C. metro area. So a few little things, but not as many. And so maybe one day, since you there, see, last week I couldn't do it because you was in sunny Miami down there on the beach. But maybe you might be gracious enough to bless one of our fans, one of our listeners one day with some sort of souvenir that they can really say, well, I got this souvenir from J. Everett Pearsall. You think you'll be gracious enough to do that one show, Mr. Pearsall?
Absolutely. Not a problem at all. In fact, I think I might be able to try to enhance some of your walls as well.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. I appreciate it. You look behind me. I look forward to it. Now, you know, we got over... We have at least 10,000 listeners. So I got 20,000 ears who heard what you said. And this is a podcast as well. Now, we're live right now, ladies and gentlemen. But Everett has said he's going to grace my wall. You heard his words. Now, we're going to see what he does. Now, before we get into everything, as I always say, before we send the listeners into shock, we got to do a disclaimer. And we got to tell, you know, the people who are listening and watching that, you know, the views and the opinions of both Pierce and I are our views. So if you want to get on somebody, get on Mr. Pearsall, because I'm getting tired of getting these crazy emails and text messages after we get off of the show. You don't believe what we talking about. Then you go by the website, or then you forget the web. How can somebody forget the web? I'm not being bad. I mean, the website, let me just tell people, whatever we say, go by the website, check it out. It's www.naaa.com. Now, the other thing I want to say is that you can email us. Now, I set up an email. Don't have to worry about beating me up anymore. So Pearsall and I got an email that both of us will be monitoring. And you can send an email. It's a real easy email. It's the Watkins Award Show at gmail.com. The Watkins Award Show at gmail.com. You got any questions? You got any arguments? Send Mr. Pearsall a message. Now, and I know I'd be flipping back and forth from calling him Everett and then calling him Mr. Pearsall. It's all one person. It's all one person. But I do that because when we meet these young men, it's amazing how they are dressed. Him as Mr. Pearsall, he addressed me as Mr. Tate, and then they go through this this period, and then all of a sudden, these young men that we meet when they 17 years old, 18 years old, then all of a sudden, they 25, they 29, they 35 years old, and it's nothing wrong with them continuously saying Mr., but they now calling him Pearsall, and it's kind of funny, you know, listening to them calling him Pearsall. But, you know, this is just what it is. But, you know, our views and opinions are based on the reality of what we see here at the Watkins Award, which is an award that comes through the National Alliance of African American Athletes. What we do for the new listeners, every week we get new listeners every week. So I don't want to piss off the old listeners and say, here you go again. I know what they do. I know you know what we do, but we just want to make sure the new listeners know that we respect them coming on. And maybe somebody forgot the fact that the National Alliance of African American Athletes was born and was an idea of Mr. Franklin D. Watkins out of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. He was a community man. I love using that word, community man. And I do that because I think that everybody is a community man who want to do something. All they got to do is put something together and say, you know what? I want to encourage these young men to do better in the classroom as they are achieving high athletic standards on the football field, baseball field, and of course on the basketball court. So we just want people to know that the Alliance is an organization where we just try to help and give a holistic approach to trying to help these kids make the transition from grade school to college to the real world, which could mean last year, how many guys that we have in the NFL that have come through this program in 31 years? How many guys were in the NFL ever?
We currently have 18. Now, we've had roughly 54 throughout the 30-year history of the Watkins, but right now we have 18.
Okay. And the reason why I'm careful in saying that, because you know that your job is only as good as what it was yesterday, because they can cut you, you know, in the middle of the season, man. They can get rid of you. They don't care about them little pennies that they didn't spend. They've, you know, got whatever they wanted out of you. Now it's time for them to move on as well as for you to move on. But what we're trying to say here with the Watkins Award we're identifying young men who have incredible academic credentials and extraordinary athletic skills. And so they merge the two, and we're grateful that they become the complete man. I mean, I hear women all the time talking about they can't find a good man. They can't find a good man. Well, we're trying to tell you, these young men that are coming through our program, these are good men. These are good men, ladies. So I've had older men to jack me up and say, hey, I want you to introduce me to a couple of your guys for my daughter, man. I mean, and that is a great compliment. It's funny, but it's a compliment that people do want to try to match their sons and daughters with like-minded people who are high achievers. You know what they say, birds and a feather flock together. I mean, and you figure if a woman and a man is going to be two positive people, that that's going to be a positive relationship. But regardless of all that, Everett, I know that we've been taking this award around the country. We've been going around the country. We've been doing things. But what has really excited you about the alliance, aside from the award itself, because that's an annual event, but during the year prior to the award, what is it that excites you about the National Alliance of African American Athletes?
Again, as you stated earlier, when you talk about the fact that the Watkins Award is something that we do as an organization, as a 501c3 organization at that, it's only one thing that we do. Really, the business of the Alliance is to use the sports industry and the athletes to uplift the community. And so the Watkins Award is just one thing that we do. Throughout the course of the year, we've got our hands all over the country into doing projects, programs all over that uplift communities and kids and give out empowerment through our chapters and through individuals who are Watkins alumni, as well as individuals who just want to align themselves with the National Alliance of African American Athletes. And so whether it's a football camp or a basketball camp, whether it's some type of an empowerment session where people have the ability to put something together, a town hall, anything that they're doing in that community where we've been able to encourage, enhance, where we've been able to work with them to develop a program, whether it's our chapter, whether it's an athlete that we've worked with and whomever it is, it encourages us. And so with the Watkins Award just being one thing that we do as a facet of our organization, we're encouraged throughout the year because of the things that our guys are doing. I'm going to be flying down to Phoenix, Arizona this weekend and spending some time with Lorenzo, who was on maybe about a month ago. And we're going to be talking about the plethora of things that he's doing in the Arizona community, as well as meeting with our Arizona chapter president, Scott Williams. And so, you know, when I talk about things, this is what would be considered potentially an off season, especially with the fact that, you know, the pandemic has thwarted our ability to do what we typically do as a gala. But it doesn't stop the work of the Alliance. It doesn't stop the work of the individuals that are involved with the organization. And it certainly doesn't stop, you know, all the work that the athletes, alumni, and people who are associated with us are capable of doing all over. And so we're excited. I'm excited about all the work that they're doing. And then, more importantly, everything that we can do to enhance it, anything that we can do to contribute to it, anything that we can do to make sure that it reaches the ears, eyes, and hearts of as many youth as it possibly can in this country. And so those are things that encourage me, and it's why we do the work, to be honest with you.
Well, you know, and one of the things you and I have to be mindful of is that we're so comfortable with these young men and calling them by their first name. We have to sometimes say Lorenzo Alexander, because saying Lorenzo, most people don't know who you're talking about. So you got to mention his entire name, Lorenzo Alexander, and a great. I mean, that was a great interview because That's the typical of a family man that loves his family. The love for his children. I mean, the guy, and he's on fire for the Lord. I mean, that guy is, he's special. But all of these guys are special. And for him, and in particular for you to go back into a state where he used to play football, that's a testimony about this guy, man. He goes back home in Oakland and get involved in this community. He's still well received in Washington in the metro area where he gets involved. He goes up to Buffalo. He's still so our men, and I want, you know, our listeners and viewers as well to understand that this is one of the foundational holistic approaches that we work with these young men, which is to get them to set up some sort of program to go back into these communities to add value. They not just coming in there and playing sports and getting the money and then pulling up out of there. They're trying to find ways that they can give back to the communities, whether that's financially or their time, which is much more valuable than their money, but they're doing both. I mean, they're doing both. And I thank you for that. And what we want to do also is to highlight the date that you are actually going to be there. And we also want to make sure any kind of events that you all do while you in Arizona, that you announce those events so we can give those listeners down there an opportunity to come down and see you face to face. And if they got any questions for you, they can actually ask you, and you say, wait a minute, this guy Pearsall is for real. You know, he is. And maybe you might take a little souvenir down there to someone who mentions, well, Tate mentioned that you might have a souvenir or something. That means, that proves they was listening to the show. So you take something down there to them, even if it's one of your many Alliance shirts that I see you wearing all the time, your logo wear of one of our proud sponsors, Under Armour. You always wearing one of the shirts, Mr. P. I mean, please send some down here to us in Atlanta. We're waiting. I'm putting you on notice today, Mr. Pearsall. But, you know, that's wonderful to hear. So let me ask you also, when we do have the award in a place like D.C., we've had it in L.A., we had it in D.C., we've gone to Charlotte, we come down here to Atlanta. You've been up in Philadelphia? Have you been up in Philly?
We've been in Philly, New York City.
Pittsburgh? You've been in Pittsburgh?
We've been in Pittsburgh.
Okay, Pittsburgh. So, you know, being in all of those places, what is it that, aside from the awards banquet, what is it you want to achieve going into those cities? What you want to leave? When you leave that city, let me put it this way. When you leave that city, what do you want the people who had an opportunity to come and see the Watkins Award leave with? What is it that you're trying to achieve with that?
It doesn't matter where I am. It doesn't matter what we're doing. It doesn't matter with whom we're doing what we're doing. Every event that we ever have has to have a component with which it reaches back to the community, because I think it's a waste of time. I think it's a waste of resource. And more importantly, I think it's a wasted opportunity. And so whatever event that we do, you have to know that we're going to have some type of a teen summit, some type of a camp, some type of a gathering of youth that need to hear some of the things that they're capable of doing, some of the messages of empowerment, some messages that, more importantly, won't come from me, but come from those who may be in the same position and maybe going through the same thing or maybe on the same path and now have overcome those to be successful in their own right. And so when we do the Watkins Award, we do several community events, whether it's going into the hospital, going into local elementary and middle schools and high schools, doing a teen summit or a football camp. But I guarantee you that when you see us, we come in force and we come with the same mission. And that mission is to make sure that we don't leave that city, that location, that state the same way it was before we got there. We leave there with the idea that we've had an opportunity to leave a positive message to 1, 2, 3, 12, 100, 2,000, or whatever number it is. Because we believe that if you change one, obvious, it could be that one that changes the world. And if you change many, it increases that opportunity. And so wherever we are, the ability to reach back in that community and make it better is really what we strive for. It's not an event, as I tell many people, it's a movement.
Wow, that's power, man. Not an event, it's a movement. Man, holy cow, man. Let me make a note of that, man. It's not an event, it's a movement. Mr. Pearsall, you getting powerful here, man. I mean, really, you know, I want the parents and the young men and the young ladies who listen to our show, and the women, I mean, well, when I say parents, but I just want people to know this isn't a show just for the kids. This is for the parents, and it's not a show that's just for the parents. It's for the kids as well. One of the things that we do here, especially on the radio show, that we try to achieve is to pass on some information that will enable that young man or that young lady the opportunity to have the chance to come through the program. And they don't necessarily have to be a Watkins Award honoree. It can be anybody who has the ability to just be a student athlete or be a student. And what we're trying to do is really give everybody the information that they need in order to find themselves at a point that they will be able to achieve greatness in the classroom, or certainly achieve greatness in whatever respective sport that they're in. Because there's, you know, I want to think that there is a secret sauce. But there is no secret sauce for being a bona fide scholar athlete. What there is a dedication that these young men will take and say that, or these young ladies, I keep saying young men, but these student athletes will use the information from these honorees from the Watkins Award, and they will take this information and they will find themselves in a position that they doing better in the classroom. You know, that the parents understand that they have a way of getting into this program, whether they ultimately find the ultimate way to do it or not. But, you know, that ultimate way is that they always find themselves in a position that they, you know, are striving to be excellent in their classroom. I want to, you know, certainly take this time, go into a break, because on the backside of this break, I'm bringing one of our honorees on, and I can't say enough about Maurice Hall. I mean, we call him Mo Hall. Can't say enough about him. But the mere fact that Mo Hall is a graduate of the Ohio State University, you know, as much sometimes I just want to say Ohio State, you can't, because these guys take it personal, man. They want you to say the Ohio State University.
That's right.
But I also want to say, before we go to that break, that I've been to Columbus a number of times, especially when I was a kid. But man, going up there and really experiencing this thing called the horseshoe is unbelievable. I can hear the music coming in. On the backside of this break here, we will have Maurice Hall from the Ohio State University.
I'ma write down every single thought. Got those on my wall, I win, I never fall. I've been gone for a minute, yeah, had to be free. You wanted, I got it, so tell me what you need. I'm unchanged, unfazed, and unwilling. It's a new day, new world, we all winning. I'm up late, up early, I gotta get it. Keep working, now we gotta make a million. Go get it, you got it, I see you. Go get it, you got it, I see you. Go get it, you got it, I see you. Go get it, you got it, I see you. Go get it, you got it, I see you. Go get it, you got it, I see you. I know you could do it. All you gotta do is put your mind to it.
Exotic Car Sharing by Kirby Road is a full-service car sharing company that has been in business for over 21 years. Based out of Palatine, Illinois, our company allows its members the ability to own fractional ownership of exotic cars at a fraction of the costs. Our share plans include reservations for weekend or weekly ride sharing. Our members get to choose from a Bentley one weekend to the McLaren 570S the next. No long paperwork, expensive maintenance, or expensive insurance requirements. Exotic Car Sharing has the fleet and capabilities to service all of our clients with quality luxury vehicles delivered at your doorstep. Register on our website at exoticcarsharing.com or call us at 888-264-3327.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Boy, that exotic car share gets me riled up, because I know when Mo Hall is out there in the world, he may call them up and get him a Bentley one week and then get mad that he can't get the Porsche 911 Targa because Pearsall driving around with the car, you know, because that's what he does. But hey, let me do this phenomenal introduction here, because the parents, the listeners need to know, first of all, that Mo Hall grew up in Columbus, Ohio. He grew up there, and of course, he attended Ohio State University, where he received both. Here we go again. Another one of our athletes get a bachelor's degree and get a master's degree. And, you know, Mo played on the football team at Ohio State. He's known for a couple of things, in particular, a game-winning touchdown when they play Illinois. And then, oh, I'm learning the language now. I've been around the Ohio State University players long enough. They played the team up north. See, I know the language.
So that's the team right. Up that's north, right.
Just for people who don't know, that's the University of Michigan. They always refer to them as the team up north. And Ohio State ultimately in that same year won the national championship. So here we got another guy that won a national championship. And Mo Hall had a stint with the San Diego Chargers. But here's the thing that we really going to chime into at some point in our conversation, that Mo Hall had a passion for acting. And so he packed up his bags, got in the buggy and moved to Beverly, you know, like Jerry Clement. He went on out there. So Mo Hall, you got an IMBD credit list that's longer than the screen. I mean, man, you got 9 producer credits, 3 credits as a writer, 4 credits as a director, and please excuse me if I got the numbers wrong. You got 1 credit as a casting director, 3 credits, self credits, and 35 after credits. Man, what do you sleep?
Hey, man. Gotta stay busy out here. Gotta stay busy out.
Come on, tell us, man. Tell me in particular, but tell the audience, because you got some young kids out there that really want to figure this thing out. You are academic All-American. Your accolades as a football player, I mean, man, I could be talking all day about your accolade, but the one accolade that I want to say, when you came out as a senior, not only were you an honoree, man, are you driving down Rodale Drive or something, man? Man, look at the palm trees and audience, man. You and Pearsall, man, y'all got the likeness, man. Y'all like to be pimping the background while you interviewing.
Come on, man. I'm just trying to be like Ev, man.
So,
like, good.
You was player of the year for the state of Ohio. So you can get, you know, you can name all the awards, but to be the player of the year, be academic All-American, you getting all the academic awards. You even got some award from Harvard. You going to Ohio State and Harvard still going to give you an award, man. Hold on, Mo, how do you focus in the classroom and achieve what you did out on the football field? What's the secret sauce? Oh, we got a delay in our system.
Rodale Drive must be over there. Timing it. You know,
that's what it is. He's trying to use one of them $2,000 cell phones down there on Rodale Drive in the middle of one of those high rise or 2 high rises.
You know that sunroof might be the biggest sunroof I've ever seen in my life.
Man, stop it, man. Stop it, man.
So, Mo, did you hear my question about how?
So what I was saying is, you know, for me, I just wanted to make sure no one could put me in a box. You know, I don't want people to say, oh, he's a great athlete, but does he have the grades, you know? Or, yeah, he's smart, but, you know, athletic-wise, you're just not, you know, up to the par, you know. So that for me, I wanted to make sure in both areas and along with, like, you know, community service, you know, there's a lot of guys who, oh, he might have good grades or he might be a great athlete, but he's a jerk, you know, and I don't want to be around him outside of the football field. So my goal was to make sure that I didn't have that, with that nobody could say, yes, this, but this, you know. And, you know, I was fortunate to have great parents who kind of kept me on the straight and narrow. And you know, that's what I just kind of strived for. You know, one thing my dad always told me, when you go out there and put that jersey on, it doesn't say Maurice on the back. It says Hall. So you're representing your family and everybody else, you know, that is affiliated with you. So, you know, I kind of carried that jersey on my back, even off the field. And because of that, you know, I felt like it really helped me, because I was always mindful of who was looking at me and the decisions that I was making based on, you know, based on all my circumstances and what I was doing. So that was, that's kind of how I looked at it.
Well, I see your lawyer in the background.
Man, she like, time is money.
That's right. I know she in the background. She got that contract. I got her. I see my fax machine keep going off. I know that's her sending my fax machine telling me what time she's supposed to get off here.
She on retainer, you know.
Well, I know she a SAG actor too.
So, exactly. She been having some auditions, so she's we getting it in.
Well, how did you when you left high school, I mean, what pushed you? I know it was a lot of pressure, but what pushed you to ultimately sign with Ohio State?
Man, you know, it was a really hard decision because, growing up, I was born in Miami, Florida. So I was a Miami Hurricanes and I was a Florida State fan. And, and I really took to Florida State, you know, Ward Dunn was somebody who I really looked up to and, patterned kind of my game after him. And interesting enough, when I was getting recruited by Florida State, I got a call from Ward Dunn and he said, hey, my number 28 jersey's retired, but if you come to Florida State, you can wear it. And I'm like, goodness, you know, and, you know, in the midst of talking to, you know, Peter Warwick and all these other great Florida State players. But ultimately, it came down to family, you know, and, I wanted my parents to see me play. You know, they had since 10 years old, they had been at every game. And, you know, I knew financially they would not be able to make any, you know, maybe one game a year being at Florida State. And being there in Ohio and being, you know, in Tallahassee. So, you know, I made the decision to go to Ohio State, and that was one of the biggest reasons. But, you know, I still had goals, you know, when one of those goals was to win a national championship. And fortunately enough, you know, we were able to do that, you know, and it was a really special team in 2002 where we kind of all came together and played against the University of Miami, ironically enough, who at that time, you know, was the best team in college football and arguably still might be on paper, the best team to ever touch the field. So, so it was a great experience at Ohio State. And, you know, I'm excited I had an opportunity to be there and with those guys and, you know, experience that level of football and then that level of an academic university that, you know, really focus on, you know, family, tradition, and excellence.
So take me back just a second. Look here, man. I love seeing the lawyer in the background. So don't you kick her out.
She got to go sit down next to me.
Take me back because you talk about your parent, and it's obvious you had a close relationship with your parents.
Yeah.
So you hear about the Watkins Award. I mean, and then all of a sudden you see this guy come through the door, Mr. Pearsall at the time.
JF.
what was your thought when you first heard about the Watkins Award?
You know, initially, I didn't actually even see it. It came to the house, and my mom opened my mail, which me and her had a problem with that early on. I'm like, stop opening my mail. But, you know, fortunately, she did open this particular mail, and she said, She said, you know, you really need to look at this. And being able to have the accolades that I had, you know, I got a lot of awards, you know, whether they were, you know, academic or athletic. And so, you know, they got to the point where I didn't pay attention to them as much. So, but my mom felt like, you know, this particular one was different than any of the other awards. So I said, okay, well, let's sit down and let's read through it and take a look. And as we continued to read through it, I was like, man, this is different. And it's a lot of work. You know, they asking for references. They asking for transcripts. I'm like, hold on, man. You know, I'm just used to getting handed the award. I ain't used to doing all this application work. So, fortunately, you know, we got it in. And, you know, then it became like, oh, snap. Like, I want to you know, I want to be a part of this because it is different. And it's not just your normal, you know, award. You know, they're actually recognizing, you know, the top scholar athletes in the country, you know, and that's something that I never really saw. Not top scholar athletes in the country, but the top African-American scholar athletes in the country. Right. So, and that was something that we don't see, you know, nobody recognized. They just, you know, in my experience at that time, people just cared if you could play football or not. That's all it really came down. If you could play football, then you could be up for an award. And this was different. And I was so happy to get the news that we did. I was picked as one of the finalists for the award, and you know, got a chance to obviously meet Everett, and Everett got a chance to come to one of my games, and it was a pretty good game for me that game was, and because of it, you know, it made me even more excited, and then it kind of just went from there. You know, they have an opportunity to really go to Charlotte at the time was where it was, and have that experience. It was, you know, it's something that, you know, I'll never forget. And people that I met during that time, you know, I still have friendships and have grown even closer to since then. So, you know, it's a great, great platform for us as Black men, as men who are some of the top scholars in the country that just happen to be athletes.
Well, you know, before I hand you over to Pearsall, I just want to get one last question for my audience, because, you know, a lot of guys get into a lot of things, you know, in terms of their career goals.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when did you get this bug for acting? Because to have all these credits and writing and directing,
yeah,
clearly you everything on when you're doing a movie. I mean, you the guy cleaning up.
Oh yeah. Hey, you know, that's how you got to do it.
Where did it come from?
So of course, you know, I was like, the goal was like, oh yeah, I'm in the league for at least 10 years. I'm going to retire. I'm going to become a sports analyst. That's my life. And then, you know, injuries came when I was at Ohio State and had a slight other one when I was with the Chargers. And the next thing you know, my 10 years in the league turned into a coffee break. And I said, I got to figure out what else to do besides football now. Now that I'm, you know, 22, 23 years old. And, you know, I went into being an athletic director under Gene Smith. And, you know, I thought that's what I wanted to do. And it was a great opportunity to learn the business side of athletics, but ultimately the passion just wasn't there for it. You know, I was doing it straight for the money. At the time, I was like, Gene's making $600,000-$700,000 a year. Sign me up. And then I realized that, you know, you really still have to have a passion for what you do. And, you know, I kind of got into acting because I started working as a sports analyst, which was great. And I really enjoyed it. And during that time, I would do skits for our high school football program. And during these skits, it became very popular around the city and in central Ohio, to the point of, you know, we had like the best ratings for this high school program. And, you know, a big reason was because of these skits. So, you know, that was the first kind of thing I thought. But the ultimate factor of how I got into acting was I was at a game. They were going to go live to me. This was my first time. They were like, okay, Maurice, this is, you know, this is your live moment. And they said, you know, I remember the news anchors. It was like, okay, now we're going to shoot out to Maurice live at some so-and-so high school. Maurice, how's it going out there? And I said, oh, it's going great out here. Back to you. Oh, my goodness. That was one of the top five worst moments of my life, right? And someone, thank God, referred me to an acting coach, and they were like, hey, I saw you on the news. I'm like, great, you know? And then they like, why don't you take some acting classes to help with the, like, fear almost of being in front of the camera. You know, I had only been in front of the camera when I'm talking to people or interviewing people, not looking directly in the camera and talking to no one. So I was like, I don't want to be an actor. They were like, well, just take the classes and see if it helps. And I took a class. And from that first day of taking a class, I said, this is it. This is the next thing that's going to, you know, this is the passion I have without having to play football. You know, there was nothing that after I finished this 5-hour class, I was like, man, can we keep going? And that's how I knew this was the next thing for me. And because of that, you know, I started taking acting classes full time, was able to do a couple films and plays in Columbus. And I said, I got to go to Hollywood. You know, it's not going to happen here in Ohio. So if this is what I want to do, you know, L.A. is the place to be. And that was 12 years ago, man.
Here's y'all.
Maurice Hall, a.k.a. Super Producer Hall, a.k.a. Moheezy, a.k.a. Motivation.
That's you right, baby.
Good to have you on the show, my brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I can't help but go back to the time that we talked about when I had an opportunity to come to your high school football game and be acclimated and get an opportunity to meet your mother, your father, and come to see you perform. And it was overwhelming. When I came to that game, our listening audience, you got to understand, you know, I don't look like it now, but there are remnants of a running back that's in my system that has just a feeling as compared to an element of his athletic ability. And yet I watched this man before halftime score not only 5 touchdowns, but never get touched. You're not listening. We're talking about a running back. We're not talking about a guy running down the sideline catching bombs. He got 5 touchdowns and never got touched. That was by the end of the half. He didn't play the rest of the game and went on that season to get 53 touchdowns. 53 touchdowns. The best running back I had ever seen. The best running back. Our first national champion. As I watched him through his college career and go on to matriculate into the man who he is today. The first question I'll ask you, Moheezy, is that as you went through this process and now got all the accolades through high school, went on to college, got a national championship. Again, the Watkins, the first Watkins man to get a national championship. And yet, after it's all said and done, you make sure you graduate on time. And not only that, go on to get your master's degree. And yet you look at the fact that you got a national championship at The Ohio State University. Let's talk about the comparisons that you felt in terms of adulation of getting that national championship and now those degrees that I know old Gloria wanted to make sure that you got.
You already know. You already know. Gloria, you know, I remember, I'm going to give you two stories. One, I remember being at the San Diego Chargers training camp, and we got the dates of camp, and then the dates of the initial training camp, and then the camp, the camp after. And the dates it started was, one of the dates was graduation. And I told mom, I said, hey, mom, you know, like, I might have to miss graduation, you know, like, because, like, that's when camp is. So I'm going to have to be in San Diego. I might not be able to. And she was like, I don't care what Marty Schottenheimer says, you're going to be at the SHU for graduation. And I was like, mom, like, what do you? And like, there was like no arguing with it. Like, it was like, she was like, you need to go over there. The first time you see him, you need to ask him if you can have one day off and fly back here for graduation. I said, yes, ma'am. You know, but that's how important it was to her. And, you know, obviously as an athlete, you want to play at the highest level and compete at the highest level, and playing it for that national championship and being a part of that team that year and having, you know, an impact on that season was huge.
Absolutely.
But what was even more important was being there, you know, in the SHU for graduation. And I'll tell you why it's so important. And it's actually circles back to, you know, what I'm doing right now, which is, you know, I just wrote and currently in pre-production of a film called The Seed, which is based on my parents' life. So the movie centers around my father, who grew up in the projects in Memphis, Tennessee, where he never met his biological father. His stepfather, who was in the house, was just as contaminated, a contaminated seed. He was an alcoholic. He was abusive to his mom. He cheated on his mom multiple times. And my dad grew up saying, I don't want to be like either of the fathers that I know or don't know. But subconsciously, growing up in that environment, before he knew it, my dad found himself, he was in a worse predicament than both of them. Had four kids by four different women, got addicted to drugs, got my mom addicted to drugs. And then one day, my mom had a life-altering situation where she was almost raped, looking for drugs in my father. And that was the moment that they said, we got to do something different. And ironically, the next day they went to church. And the pastor said, there's a family here struggling with drug addiction and God wants to deliver you today. You know, parents kind of looking at each other. That ain't no our business. Did you tell? And the pastor said, whoever you are, I want you to come up here right now so I can pray with you. My parents don't go. They're like, well, we don't want everybody knowing our business. We don't out our transgressions. Then they look at me and my brother and they said, we got to do something. So they go to the pastor's office after church. And meanwhile, I'm 5 years old at this time. There's not many things I remember as a 5 year old, but there's one thing I do remember. I remember looking through the pastor's office door and seeing her touch my dad's head, and immediately his body started convulsing. He started burping uncontrollably. Then she touched my mom's head, and my mom immediately burst into tears. And from that day forward, that was the last day they ever did drugs. Wow. And less than 30 days later, my mom took me, and we moved to Ohio. And we left my dad. My dad went to rehab, and I didn't know if I was going to see my dad ever again because my mom said she was done. She was done. And fortunately enough, my dad was able to get it together, and he was able about, I think, eight months to a year later, meet us in Ohio, in Springfield, Ohio, where he eventually got a job in Columbus, and that's how we got to Columbus.
Wow.
I say all that to say that they didn't go to college. They didn't, you know, and seeing me walk across that stage as their only son who went to college and graduated was special for them, for me. And it's, you know, it still kind of touches me a little bit, you know, because I understand how important, you know, some things are. For other people who didn't get a chance to experience it. Excellent. And I think that's why, you know, that's what people should know. You know, you're not doing it just for you. Every decision you make isn't just for you and how you feel on that day. It's for everybody who's watching and supporting you and have done so much for you over the years. So I think that's the story.
How has the Watkins Award impacted you through your journey from high school, man, up until now?
You know, it's so interesting, man, because the Watkins Award, you know, especially nowadays, that, you know, you see so many, you know, when especially black men, and that's part of the story either too. We don't hear the story of the black man overcoming, right? We hear the story of the seed and the father not being there and the seed having to overcome for the father not being there. But we don't see the struggles that the black man goes through. And yeah, bad decisions are made but that doesn't mean they don't care. That doesn't mean they don't want to be better. That doesn't mean they can't be the best. And that's what the Watkins has continued to push me toward, you know, since I was 18, 17 years old, going to Charlotte and seeing all these successful, smart men that like stand for something, like every, like Tate, like Dr. Gavin, like it was just so many that I saw in one room that I had never seen before. You know, I came from a city school where, you know, we started with 600 people, and graduated with 130. You know, so it wasn't, you know, the matriculation of the black man was not anything. So I was very excited, and I still cherish my experience as the Watkins man for sure.
Great, man. So it looks like super producer Mohawk, he's one of our guests, but really, as a Watkins man, the perfect example of who they are and all the great things that they're doing, but more importantly, going to do. Look out for his movies. Look out for his acting. Look out for all the great things that he'll do, not only on the profession, in the profession that he's in, but in his community as motivation. Mo Hall continues to change lives. A great example.
Thanks, Mo. What's the number one social network they can get in touch with you, Mo, or keep in and keep out? Look,
Instagram. I'm all over the Instagram, man. Maurice Mo Hall. That's it.
Thank you very much, and we'll see you.
All right,
Mo Dizzle.
Yes, sir.
All you gotta do is put your mind to it. Well, Pearsall, that's it, baby.
Hey, you know what?
Walking.
I always like to talk less. We have guys like Mo Hall on here. We don't have to say much.
Don't have to say a thing. He got the phone lines lit up. I'll see you next week.
And see you next Monday.
We'll see you.
All you gotta do is put your mind to it.